Perhaps more than ever before over the last decades, religion has come to play a major role in U.S. politics. In a recent national survey conducted by John Green of the University of Akron for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, most Americans said they want politicians to address issues of faith, but they are sharply divided over whether religious groups should be directly involved in politics. Well, whether they want to be part of government or just on the sidelines, religious groups across the faith spectrum have been very active over the last weeks and months, raising awareness among voters about the issues that concern them in the November 7th midterm elections. For Catholics, voting in the election is a moral duty. In their 2003 statement, Faithful Citizenship, a Catholic Call to Political Responsibility, the U.S. bishops wrote that responsible citizenship is a virtue and participating in the political process is an obligation. So, just how are Catholics expected to have voted in the elections for a new Congress and Senate in the U.S.? America's 65 million Catholics, some 30% of the voting population, have come to be seen as a critical swing vote in U.S. elections, though they too are divided into conservative and liberal camps. A number of Catholic activist groups launched pre-election campaigns to help inform Catholics about candidates' records and core issues of interest in this election. One of those groups is Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good. Spokeswoman Alexia Kelly told us the organization issued guidelines for Catholic voters because
we wanted to take a broader view, which is based on, for example, the Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church that was issued by the Vatican, the Pontifical Office of Justice and Peace, 2 years ago. So many people in the United States don't know about the social doctrines of the Church in their fullness, and we really feel, I mean, we're dedicated to the vision of the common good, creating a culture of the common good and a culture of life in this country, and we feel that a vision of the common good as set forth in the social teachings, the encyclicals over the last century in particular, have set forth this vision, which is a very broad and deep vision of working together, of loving your neighbor as yourself, and not going it alone, and that this excessive individualism and materialism culture, which we sometimes have in this country, that is destructive towards the common good, and that really the root cause of abortion, for example, in this country, is this sense that we're not in it together, so that women feel very alone and don't feel that there's a welcoming culture of life in this country. So we wanted to step back and talk about what kind of culture, based on the Catholic social tradition, we need to create together to welcome life and to ensure the dignity of all, the poor, the weak, the vulnerable, of children, of everybody in this country.
So what can a Catholic do when confronted with a candidate who denounces abortion but supports the death penalty?
A Catholic citizen needs to look at all the issues, and I think our process described in our guide, Voting for the Common Good, suggests that Catholics need to inform their conscience. So study the Church's teachings, study the Catechism, study Faithful Citizenship, which is a document that the U.S. Catholic bishops create every 4 years here, and really look at what the candidates are saying, and then more importantly, their record. So what they've done in the past and what they're saying practically they're going to do in the future. So that's very important. That's our first step for Catholic voters to inform their conscience. The second is to exercise prudence, sort of moral common sense, as to how they can get the results that they want. And that's the sort of prudence is what's required to sort out, well, if the candidate is they're pro-life and they're against abortion, but they're also for the death penalty, how am I going to make a decision here to get the best result? And then the third step is to vote in ways that most benefit the common good.
The Pew Forum survey conducted this summer suggested most Catholics feel the most urgent issues facing the U.S. today are poverty, economic justice, greed and materialism, and the war in Iraq. So how big an issue is the war in Iraq among U.S. Catholics, and how heavily are other issues likely to weigh on their vote?
certainly the war is very much on the forefront of the debate and the discussion. And I think less so poverty and economic justice, but certainly perhaps a sense of insecurity, and there was a concern about Social Security and people felt strongly that that should be preserved. And John Green has done a lot of studies at the University of Akron, and he's at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life here in Washington. And I think that some of the data shows, in fact, that Catholics are fairly united around, for example, when asked, and this is from traditionalist Catholics to what John Green calls modernist Catholics, there's a strong consensus, for example, around multilateralism and foreign policy for the U.S. role in the world, a strong consensus around government support for the poor, for example, taxes, or, you know, government programs to aid the poor in this country. And also efforts to reduce the root causes of abortion. So I think, in fact, there's quite a consensus around a more common good vision of working together with other countries in a multilateral fashion on global issues. And as I said, also a government role, working in it together to lift up the poor, for example, in our society.
Bishop Thomas Wenske of Orlando, Florida, would certainly agree. He's very concerned about U.S. immigration policy, another key issue in these elections.
Immigration certainly is one of the hot-button issues, but also the Iraq war is another very hot-button issue. Unfortunately, too many times we see an expression of popularism that seeks to exploit the fears of people. And a lot of the anti-immigration talk in the United States is just that, popularism that's exploiting the fears of people. And we as pastors are trying to appeal to their better angels and to tell them that we have to be in solidarity, and we have to tell the story about the immigrants, that they should not be demonized. And as Catholics, we can tell that story very effectively because we have helped resettle and integrate millions of immigrants into the United States, and our church has always been, in a very real sense, an immigrant church. And so, you know, our history in the United States has been very closely tied with the influx of new peoples. When the United States was created a little over 200 years ago, there was only maybe 20,000 Catholics in the whole United States at that time, and one diocese was created very shortly after the independence of the United States, and 230 years later, we've certainly grown a lot, and that growth has been because of immigration. And oftentimes in the past, in the 19th century, for example, anti-immigrant feelings was just another way to mask anti-Catholic feelings. And so I think as Catholics, we should have a particular sensitivity to the plight of the immigrant and be their advocates as we contribute to this debate in public policy.
In October, the U.S. administration signed into law the building of a border fence, what some call a wall, between Mexico and the U.S. Understandably, in the run-up to the elections, many U.S. Latino Catholics, many from Mexico, were quite concerned about the new legislation. For his part, Bishop Wenske calls the new law inadequate and says he hopes a new post-election Congress will enact a more comprehensive immigration policy that respects human decency and dignity.
Right now, since the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, the world has seen a new impetus towards globalization. We see the free movement of goods across borders. We see that in NAFTA, for example, and the southwest border, and on the northern border between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. We also see the free movement of capital, of money across borders, but we don't have yet the free movement of people. As in the United States, the labor market needs people, then the laws should be adapted to serve the common good. At the present time, these laws are, because they are inadequate and antiquated, they end up hurting the common good and hurting people. Positive law is always designed for the good of man, not for the harm of man. Even, you know, Jesus recognized that with divine positive law when he said that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And so when laws no longer fulfill their purpose or they don't serve the common good, then they should be changed. And that's what the bishops of the United States have been saying in our participation in this debate for a broadly comprehensive immigration reform. Hopefully, when Congress comes back in the session after the elections, hopefully, perhaps the fact that the wall has been signed into effect, maybe that makes it easier for voices of reason now to prevail and to convince the Congress to enact comprehensive legislation and not just be satisfied with this very inadequate law.
Bishop Thomas Wensky of Orlando, Florida there. And before, we heard Alexia Kelly from Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good.